Strike the three points of your body, speech, and mind, and note in the very act of releasing, relaxing, we may also release the sense of personal ambition, of ego, I want to achieve. We may release self-centeredness, lighten ourselves of that burden. As we relax the body, egolessly, attend to the breath without seeking to control it. Egolessly rest in awareness without appropriating it, without colonizing, without exercising our own imperialism over the domain of the mind, without trying to conquer the mind. Rest in awareness and master only the flow of your own awareness, sustaining it with the quality of ease, stillness, and clarity. That's enough. Let us briefly return to a continuation of our practice of shamatha, resting in awareness, in the stillness of awareness, and observing without appropriation the movements of the mind. As you relax more deeply into the practice, you'll experience an increasing sense of ease as you lightly rest your awareness in the present moment. With that ease, there may come an increasingly subtle release of grasping. And that will give rise to a greater stillness and continuity to your awareness. And that may give rise to an increasing vividness of attention, qualitative vividness, so that you're able to detect subtler and subtler impulses in the mind, thoughts, flickering of images that previously were too brief for you to discern. That would be the temporal, being able to identify increasingly brief impulses within the mind, and the qualitative is being able to recognize increasingly subtle images, thoughts that may linger for seconds, but again were previously beneath the threshold of your conscious awareness. Observe very closely, but in the shamatha mode, still without active inquiry. Be so precisely in the present moment, attending with interest to the movements of the mind, that you're able to recognize the very birthing of thoughts, images, and other events within this mental space. You're right there as soon as they emerge. You watch them emerge. As you continue to watch them play themselves out, and you watch them dissolve away. And once you have familiarized yourself with that precision of mindfulness, then cross the threshold from shamatha into vipassana with that razor sharp attention. When you see a thought, an image, or any other mental activity arise, now ask the question, as you venture into vipassana, inwardly directed upon the apprehending mind, ask the question, where do these thoughts come from? Are they real? Are they really there? If so, they must really have come from somewhere. Where? And once a thought or an image or the subjective impulses, such as desires or emotions, feelings, once they have arisen, then ask. Point the spear of your intelligence with a question. Where are you located? If you're real, you must be someplace. Where are you? And examine closely. Investigate. And of course, none of these thoughts, desires, emotions, none of these last indefinitely. Sooner or later, usually it's sooner than later, they fade away. Watch what happens when you closely inspect a subjective feeling, a desire, or an emotion of any kind. What happens when you observe? Do they linger or do they disappear quickly? And if so, either way, where do they go when they're gone? Although there can be indeed a cascade of thoughts, wildly proliferating thoughts, abundance of thoughts, but look closely and you will see that there are intervals between thoughts, the silent space, the silent time, apparently devoid of content, rest right there. In that emptiness, that interval. And sustain the flow of knowing without objectifying or subjectifying anything. Rest in that simple awareness. We've been doing many things during the first half of the session. Meditating in various ways. Listening to the guidance. And putting it into practice if we so choose. We are doing it because the mind is doing it. It is the mind that is the agent. So what is the nature of that which was engaging in this meditation, observing this, inspecting that, asking this question, seeking this. Probe inwards now, inwards beyond the apprehended mind to the apprehending mind. Piercingly probe inwards. On the nature of that which is piercing inwards. The mind piercing itself. What is the nature of the agent? What comes up? When you invert your awareness right in upon that which is inverting, there must be an agent. You didn't perform this meditation willy-nilly, just by coincidence. Not just because they're instruction you don't have to follow. There must be an agent here. What is the nature of that agent? You may think it's you, but only because you designate you upon your mind. So look right at the mind that's doing all the hard work. And what is that mind? Does it have characteristics by which you can identify it? If you cannot find it, if you cannot identify it, then ask again, what is it that cannot identify it? Is that not the mind? And then let there be intervals between doing things with your mind, inverting your mind, questioning your mind, seeking, let there be intervals between doing, between the doings, between the activities. Let there be an interval when you are not doing anything with the mind at all. You're just present. The intervals between activities, is there not still a mind that is aware without doing anything at all? What is the nature of mind as observer, the mind that is aware? Look closely. And then stop looking. And just be aware of what's left when all activities of the mind has ceased. Activate the mind again, set out in the search for the mind. Trace down your awareness, track it down to its source, the mind that is aware. Seek it out persistently, tenaciously. If it's here, it must be findable. And then cease looking. And simply be aware of what's left. Is there still a sense, a quiet, intuitive sense? There is someone or something in here that is observing. There is a subject. Really, there must be. Otherwise, how could that subject engage in activity? How could that subject be aware of objects if there were no subject? If there is a subject, a real subject in here, it wasn't always here, so it must have come from someplace. Where did it come from? From moment to moment, can you identify the origins of that which you identify as your mind? From moment to moment, can you see where it comes from? Does that sense that there really is a mind here persist? If so, where is here? Where is it located? moment by moment, it is that phenomenologically that the mind is coming into existence. It exists, and then it passes away, arising and passing, rising and passing. When a mind moment ceases, can you see where the mind goes? If it really exists, it must go somewhere. Where is that? And when at the end of seeking, at least seeking for the time being, when what you find is the unfindability of the mind, its origin, its location, its destination, the unfindability of the mind is something that exists or does not exist. When you come simply to a sense of open space, empty of mind, rest in that knowing with no further seeking. Thank you.